Hi everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm Louisa Nicola. I'm a neurophysiologist and human performance coach. I'm the founder of NeuroAthletics, where our mission is to democratize brain health education so you can perform better, think faster, and live longer. Today I want to talk about dementia and cholesterol. So I'm going to take you through a bit of a journey and answer the question, does lowering cholesterol cause dementia? Why could that be? Because we hear so often that increases in cholesterol may cause Alzheimer's disease and dementia. So we're going to go through all of that today. I'm really going to touch on the specifics of cholesterol, what they are, some of the blood biomarkers that you've probably seen from your doctor. We are going to touch on what dementia is, what Alzheimer's disease is, and then I'm going to answer the question that keeps arising in the medical and public spheres from, I think it's arising from, I guess, an intriguing juxtaposition of evidence and anecdotal reports, in my opinion. On one side, you know, we've heard stories about individuals who are starting statins and they've been experiencing immediate memory loss. If you're on a statin such as Crestor, maybe you can, I guess, vouch for this. But on the other hand, we have randomized control trials and systematic reviews that has given us a mixed bag of results. And I guess this has left many of us pondering the true impact of statins and low blood cholesterol levels on cognitive performance. So let's get into it. A quick mention to Boncharge, who are sponsoring this episode. Boncharge is where I get all of my red light therapy devices from. I use red light therapy panels, and I actually specifically put this panel in my bathroom. So when I get out of the shower, and obviously I'm naked, I can stand in front of the panel. I do this for around 20 minutes every single morning. And I do this specifically because red light has been shown clinically to improve the mitochondria within the cell. So we know that when you're using red light, it can penetrate the skin and really get into these superficial organs and have an effect. And we know that we need energy. As we get older, a lot of our mitochondria becomes dysfunctional through environmental hazards, environment, like just the environment, stress, natural aging, food that we eat, sleep deprivation. I'm at the point of my life where I'm doing anything I can to preserve the health of my mitochondria. And that involves doing red light therapy and a number of other things. So I use the red light panel. I have it set up in my bathroom. You can go and look at my Instagram stories for that. I also use a red light mask because I'm trying to look the way I am today for the next 30 years. So I'm improving my skin health with red light therapy. And I use Boncharge for many reasons. One is the quality of their products and the quality of the design and the truth behind what they put. You know, you can go out and see so many people using just regular red lights off Amazon. It is not the same thing. These red light panels not only do infrared, near infrared light, but they also do red light when they're two different types. And that's why I'm using them. So if you want to be getting more into red light, whether it's for skin healing, wound healing, mitochondrial health, even looking younger, getting rid of wrinkles in your face, Boncharge is giving you 15% off. And you can use my code, which is Neuro. I will put the link below. So 15% off their products. And this is something that you can keep for the rest of your life. Cholesterol, as we know, plays a pivotal role in cell membrane integrity, hormone production, and importantly, neuron function and communication. We need cholesterol. The brain itself can produce its own cholesterol. And this is actually what sparks the debate on whether low blood cholesterol levels significantly impact brain health and cognitive health. I really want to talk about cholesterol first and dive deeper into the world of cholesterol. And we're going to focus on things that you've heard of, such as HDL, LDL, and ApoB. So You've all heard of LDL cholesterol. LDL cholesterol is often labeled as bad cholesterol, and here's why. Imagine LDL as the multitude of small, dense cars congesting the highway. They're prone to accidents, and in our body's case, these LDLs can stick to the artery walls, forming plaques. So these plaques build up over time, and this is what causes narrowing of the arteries, which makes it harder for blood to flow through it. And this condition, obviously, if it gets super, super bad, it's also known as atherosclerosis. If a plaque ruptures, it can lead to a heart attack or a stroke. Remembering, let's go back to physiology now. A heart attack is an occlusion of a blood vessel around the heart or in the heart. A stroke is an occlusion of a blood vessel in the brain. You've probably heard of a pulmonary embolism, which is literally an occlusion or an emboli in one of the arteries in the lungs. So these three things are all the same thing. A stroke is a heart attack in the brain, pretty much. And a heart attack is like having a stroke, but in the heart. So the lower your LDL levels, the less traffic there is on your highways, reducing the risk of these accidents. That's why it's called LDL. I mean, the L should really stand for lousy, right? Then you've got the HDL cholesterol, high density lipoprotein. You've probably seen this on one of your readings from your doctor. And they've often referred to HDL as the good cholesterol. The way I like to think about HDL is think of HDL as the highway's cleanup crew. These vehicles travel the bloodstream, collecting cholesterol and taking it back to the liver for disposal or recycling. So essentially, the more HDL you have, the cleaner your arterial highways will be, reducing the risk of plaque formation and heart disease. So your HDL pretty much comes in and cleans up all of the LDL. That's why it's called the good cholesterol. So we need it. But then we also need to really hone in on ApoB. And this is the real marker for cardiovascular disease risk. You can get this from your doctor, hopefully. If they're good, you can beg them for it. It's not a routine test. I've partnered with Insight Tracker for almost a year now. If you follow me avidly, you know that. I'll also pop the link for that below because they do ApoB now. Strongly recommend you do this at least once a year. I really, really think everybody should be doing this. ApoB is a protein found on the surface of LDL and other potential lipoproteins, such as VLDL. We don't need to go there. But you can think of ApoB, which stands for apolipoprotein B. You can think of it as a license plate on these vehicles. Each bad lipoprotein vehicle has one ApoB license plate, making ApoB a great marker for the total number of potentially plaque-forming particles in your bloodstream. High levels of ApoB indicate a high number of these risky vehicles, correlating with greater chance of arterial traffic jams and cardiovascular disease events. Okay, so now that we know what cholesterol is, as a recap, LDL, low-density lipoprotein, the more of these you have, the riskier it is, as they can lead to plaque buildup in your arteries. HDL, high-density lipoprotein, these are beneficial, and these help to clean up the excess cholesterol from your arteries. ApoB, apolipoprotein B, it's a key indicator of the number of particles that can contribute to plaque in your arteries. High levels of ApoB is a warning sign. Dr. Peter Attia and Dr. Thomas Tayspring really advocate for a low ApoB of below 60 or even essentially below 80. Let's now move on. Let's quickly just go over dementia. So you know that dementia is an umbrella term to describe diseases such as Alzheimer's disease, frontotemporal dementia, dementia with Lewy bodies, Parkinson's dementia. Out of all of these, the one that most people have is Alzheimer's disease, which is why most people get these two confused. Dementia is marked by a significant decline in cognitive abilities, and this poses a profound challenge to independent living. And Alzheimer's disease, like I mentioned, stands as the primary cause. Notably, at least one third of dementia cases have links to modifiable risk factors, particularly physical inactivity. This is why my primary area of research looks at the link between physical activity and Alzheimer's disease. So the question at hand that I'm asking here today is, does lowering cholesterol cause dementia? And I guess we need to take a bit of a trip down memory lane to have a look at what has occurred over the timeline of asking this question. And I guess we can start in 2013. And there was a systematic review done that, despite its findings, it showed that there was no significant cognitive impairment with statin use. Then we fast forward to 2015, where a meta-analysis was done involving over 29,000 participants. This also found that statins had little to no effect on Alzheimer's disease rate and cognitive performance. However, which brings me to the most crucial part of today, a groundbreaking study which was presented at the American Heart Association conference in November of 2023. This is what really shifted the narrative. Over a 7-year period, participants were administered PCSK9 inhibitors and statins. And this obviously significantly lowered the LDL cholesterol levels in these participants. But there were no adverse effects on cognition observed. So this evidence strongly suggests that very low LDL cholesterol does not impair brain cognitive performance. So what all of these studies have shown is that lowering cholesterol is a very good thing for the brain. Lowering LDL levels is a very good thing for the brain, and obviously to lower cognitive decline. And taking statins to lower your cholesterol has no adverse effects on cognitive function and risk of getting dementia or Alzheimer's disease. All right, now let's address the elephant in the room, which is, hey, Louisa, I know that there have been reports of side effects of different statins from, you know, some people experience muscle weakness and lower limb weakness. So let's go over those, keeping in mind that the current statement actually aligns with the American Heart Association's statement, which is that statins have been shown not to interfere with hormonal levels such as testosterone. They also point out that the ideal LDL cholesterol level for humans is significantly lower than average, ranging between 25 to 60 milligrams per deciliter. It's also very important to note that the brain doesn't depend on dietary or liver-derived cholesterol or lipids for its structural and functional needs. So I really want to drive home that there is very, very, very little evidence to suggest that cholesterol-lowering medications contribute to neurodegeneration. And not just that, the risk associated with brain bleeds from these medications are extremely minimal. So, when it comes to diet, however, there is a misconception. And the misconception is about the impact of dietary cholesterol, such as the cholesterol found in egg yolks, on blood cholesterol levels. In reality, for most people, it has little to no effect. unlike saturated fat from animal products, which can significantly influence cholesterol levels. And in fact, there was research done. It was a Cochrane review that I saw. It has shown that reducing dietary saturated fats can lower the risk of heart attacks and decrease LDL cholesterol levels. This is why I personally advocate for a Mediterranean diet, one that is rich in unsaturated fats, those found in avocados, extra virgin olive oil, salmon, nuts, seeds. This diet is currently backed by the strongest evidence for promoting heart health and brain health, though it's essential to find a dietary approach that works for you and for each individual. You guys know that I don't subscribe to any one diet. I'm not a carnivore. I'm also not a plant-based eater. I do eat everything. I am Greek. I do eat red meat as well. However, I do couple this as well. I do have a really great diet and I do exercise regularly. Which brings me to my next point. The use of a statin, such as rosuvastatin, at 5 milligrams, some people may still not achieve their LDL cholesterol targets. So in these instances, doctors will probably discuss two options. One is to increase the dose of their current statin, though this can lead to diminishing returns and a higher risk of side effects, such as muscle aches. Another strategy for this would be to introduce a second cholesterol-lowering medication, which can work alongside a statin to improve outcomes. But both statins, plus the additional work of dietary interventions and exercise interventions, can really be cost-effective. So what do we need to know about this? Well, when it comes to dementia, when it comes to Alzheimer's disease, these are in some part, I'm not saying 100%, but they are in some part a preventable disease. All you really need to do to start off with is you really need to understand what your lipids are. You need to go and do comprehensive blood work first. You need to maintain a healthy lifestyle. You need to be exercising. My God, exercise, I always tell you, is by far one of the best interventions that you could be implementing every single day to stave off these diseases. But also coupling that with a diet such as the Mediterranean diet. That is it for today's solo episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please let me know in the comments or the review section of Apple Podcasts. If you know anybody that has had a history of Alzheimer's disease in the family, please send them this episode. You just don't know who you could be helping. Thank you.